The following is general information only. Your situation is fact dependent, and the advice on this show may not necessarily apply to your unique situation. This is also not accounting or legal advice. What's happened, everyone? Today is Friday, September 9th, 2011. Happy Friday to you. This is CPA Reviewed, the CPA exam podcast from another71.com. My name is Jeff Elliott, and I am your humble host. Now, another71.com has been around since 2008 and had some pretty humble roots, starting out on Blogger, Blogspot, and the old school another71.com logo was this wood grain creation that I made with Microsoft Paint. And 3 years later, 3.5 years later, it's gone through 4 evolutions, and I launched the new theme yesterday. Yeah, so this is another71.com version 4.0. And whenever you go live with a new theme, there's always some things that don't work. I tried to do a promotion today with some discounts, offering 40% off Wiley and Ninja Study Guides and flashcards. And guess what? The coupon didn't work. So that's a little bit of a fail on my part, but I'm getting it fixed. Everything should be 40% off site-wide now. All right, well, on today's show, we are going to talk about what do we have here? We are going to talk about score release information. Had some people write in some questions. One of the coolest aspects of the new theme is in the upper right-hand corner, there's a button called Ask Jeff, and it's just a field that you fill out, and you can send me your question, and it comes right to my email. You don't have to go through the trouble of emailing me. You can probably even send me hate mail anonymously and I would never know who you are. Not that that's ever happened. All right. Allison says, Jeff, Allison on Facebook, when can scores be expected? All right. I've been doing CPA exam score release predictions since the beginning. And I was the first one doing it because people always wondered when scores were going to come out. So I started tracking when scores were released. And I was able on several occasions to nail the dates and the sequence for 4 out of the 4 sections. Usually window 1 was always my best. Window 2, I was often 0-for-4. So that made for a nice average of 2-for-4, which if I was a baseball player hitting .500, well, I'd be a Hall of Famer, right? So here's the deal. The score release process, since another71.com started doing the score release predictions and started getting attention, the powers that be really tried to clamp down on the information that was leaked. So pretty much all of the information is on lockdown, and they have taken to social media to give vague announcements like, scores are coming out soon. So pretty much they didn't like this blogger guy being their voice, so they've taken that over. And so what's going on with score releases now is, in theory, supposedly, this is supposed to be the last testing window that they release scores like this, aka in the third month of the quarter all at once. There used to be window 1, window 2, or excuse me, wave 1 and wave 2, and now it's just wave 2. Supposedly they are going to be releasing scores a lot sooner now that they have a good sample size of exams starting in January when they switched over to the new exam format. Did a little switcheroo. So all of that to say, it's impossible to predict what the AICPA is going to do because they do something different every single time. So if you go to another71.com and click on score release info, you will see the predictions. But the predictions are basically nothing more than what the AICPA did last testing window. So I have another71.com's rarely correct score release predictions for September 19th. I have financial and BEC coming out September 20th, auditing, and September 21st, regulation. Of course, none of those will be correct, but you can always hang out on the CPA exam forum at another71.com, and as soon as something is released, you will likely, if you don't hear it from me, you will hear it about the millisecond that NASBA tweets that scores have been released, because people will report it. So, all that to say, I don't have any clue when scores are coming out. Kevin on Facebook had a really good question. He said, "Jeff, I'm hearing that there might be a delay in score releases due to Hurricane Irene." So, I sent an email to someone and I said, "Hey, is this fact or fiction?" They came back and they said, "It's fiction. The only people that will be impacted by Hurricane Irene are people who had to have their exams rescheduled into September because Hurricane Irene sabotaged their exam day." So there you have it. The majority of the candidates will not have their score release impacted due to Hurricane Irene, and there's really no secret. It was a friend of mine who is a director at NASBA. All right, Jegedees, I totally botched that name, but Jeff, and this was from the Ask Jeff button at another71.com. "I am a chartered accountant, an ACA from India. I would like to apply for the CPA exam, and I want to choose Dubai as a testing center. Would you please suggest which state I should select?" I don't know how the fact that you're testing in Dubai affects anything, because the international exam is kind of a new thing. But let's say, okay, when people used to travel from overseas to come to the U.S. to go to a testing center in the U.S., it didn't matter what state you physically took the exam. What mattered was what state you were registered in. So, for instance, I'm in Kansas, and if I wanted to bypass the 150-hour rule in order to sit for the exam in Kansas, I could register as a Colorado applicant. Now, that throws all sorts of quirks and kinks into getting licensed. If you ultimately want to be licensed and hold yourself out as a CPA in the state that you live, I would go ahead and just register as a candidate in that state. However, like, let's say that you work in industry and you just want to pass the CPA exam, just have it on your resume for internal promotion purposes. You're not going to hold yourself out as a CPA. You're not going to keep up with CPE. You're not going to get licensed. Then a state like Colorado might be a really good choice. But again, you really need to do some due diligence and find out how registering as, like, say, a Colorado resident will impact your goals, your career. So, case in point, in the last podcast, I mentioned something about 150 hours, and this guy Brian on the blog, he he wrote some comment about, well, you know, that's not right, you know, Colorado. And I said, I responded, yeah, blah, blah, blah. The majority of states require 150 hours. And he comes back with this long thing and he's like, I'm from Kansas, or he was from Kansas. I'm like, what? And it turns out it was my good friend, Brian, who works in Kansas, registered as a Colorado applicant, and took the exam, passed the exam on his first try, by the way. Brian's one of the smartest dudes I know. He's a CPA, CMA, CIA, and now he's going to get his MBA, and he's under 30. So if anyone needs a new future CFO in their organization out there, you can email me. Brian's the man. Lots of SEC reporting experience too. All right. So, see, that covers that. So I guess the question about being an international candidate in India, if you are going to pick a state with the least stringent testing requirements and you don't care about licensing, I would investigate Colorado. NASBA has a licensing library. I think it's called ALL, Accounting Licensing Library. Anyway, go to NASBA.org. They have all the information there. I think for a nominal fee, you can get the down low on everything that you need to know about testing requirements and licensing. Jeff, I would like to get your thoughts on a CMA or MBA. Is the CMA worth the trouble if you are a CPA, and which would be a better complement? Hey, that ties into what I was talking about with my friend Brian, MBA, CMA, and CPA. Doug, if you are already a CPA and if you want to further distinguish yourself apart from your peers, then an additional designation is the way to go. I personally think that if I were going to go that route, I would take the CMA, just like you're talking about. And because the CMA carries a lot of weight, especially internationally, and also in a manufacturing environment, definitely. So if two people are vying for the same job, they're both CPAs, both have similar work experience, but one is also a CMA, I think that's pretty advantageous. As far as an MBA, you know, unless you're getting like an Ivy League MBA, like a name brand MBA, I'm not sure that your average hiring manager is really going to care about that MBA, because it's hard to really quantify what that MBA means, because, I mean, they have no idea what you know because you have an MBA, unless it's like a name brand deal like Harvard or something like that. But with the CMA, they're like, okay, this person knows how to do cost accounting for sure. So I would go for the CMA. It's also a lot less expensive, and it carries more weight, so CMA is the way to go, in my humble opinion, right? All right. Todd says, Jeff, I'm asking about the N in the acronym NINJA. When you say to watch all videos at once, let's say that there's 8 chapters to financial, do I watch all of the chapter 1 videos first, then do the notes? I would watch each video, and as you're doing the videos, take notes, and then move to video 2 and take notes. And then at the very end is when you rewrite your notes. But yeah, you're watching the videos and you're taking notes as you're doing them, and you're trying to plow through the videos as quickly as possible so that then you can move on to the multiple choice questions. All right. That covers all of the questions that I have today. I want to keep it short and sweet. on this Friday. Again, you can go to another71.com, click in the upper right-hand corner, Ask Jeff, and I will answer your question on the next podcast. Or you can go to facebook.com/another71, and you can ask a question there. And I got pretty good feedback from the first podcast. This is a work in progress, and hopefully this time around I didn't say as many ums, uhs, you knows. I don't know if you've ever done public speaking or you've ever been trained as a public speaker, but it really grates on your ears if you listen to a speaker or even yourself and you hear, you know, and I was listening to the last podcast I did and I was like, man, you can almost have a, you can almost make a drinking game with all the ums and you knows. You'd be drunk within the first 5 minutes. All right, I'm out of here. Have a great weekend, everyone. This has been CPA Reviewed from another71.com. Have a great weekend.